calisthenics. How was the last couple of weeks when you talk about spiritual disciplines? How are you doing in your personal time with Jesus? Are you strengthening yourself? Are you strengthening yourself spiritually? Are you diving in the Word of God in a way that is transformational? Are you still expanding informational time with the Word of God? Today, we're talking about the disciplines of prayer and listening. Prayer and listening. They are two sides of the same coin, if you will. When it comes to working out, there's one part of the body that not many people think of, but it's very important. I was doing some research this week, and on the Mayo Clinic website, when it comes to health and the healthy aspect of individual, they talked about how core muscles, the muscles of this part of your body, is the most important aspect of your physical body. They say this core exercise strains the muscles in your pelvis, low back, hips, abdomen, and lower chest to work in harmony. This leads to better balance and stability. They go on to say that if you want to do any physical exercise and if you want to do the everyday life activities well, you gotta have a core that is strong. It habilitates you to do physical activities well. You are stable and you are balanced. They go on to say strong core muscles are also important for anyone wanting to be physically fit, as weak core muscles can lead to more fatigue, less endurance, and injuries. Weak core muscles can also leave you susceptible to poor posture, low back problem, muscle injuries. Strengthening your core may also help you improve any back pain. So they have this whole research about how important your core is. And if you, they go and say, like, many people have, like, once you have, back surgeries, or they have a weak back, or so on and so forth, and so they're in pain, they can't sleep at night because they have pain. It's like a little exercise every day of the week that strengthen your core will eliminate those pains. A lot of those pains come from having a weak core and also a bad posture. When you have a weak core, you're not able to be stable and to balance well. Therefore, you're forcing different aspects of your body, straining them. Core, one of the most important aspects of our physical body. The core muscle of the Christian spiritual faith life, it is prayer and listening. The core muscle of our spiritual life, it is prayer and listening. As the core is important to the physical body and we work out using body weight in order to strengthen our core, prayer and listening will strengthen us in our spiritual walk. A theologian says this, if we are weak in prayer, we are weak everywhere. You got that? If your prayer life is not strong, you don't have a balance in your spiritual life. You're not spiritually stable. You can't have the posture that is needed before God. You can't do the daily spiritual activities that we are called to do in the name of Jesus. All of this leads me to tell you the theme for today, and the theme for today is this. There is healing, joy, rest, and peace to be found in God's presence. It is often indiscernible at first, but still present, ongoing, life-transforming. Furthermore, prayer and listening, it is the avenue into God's presence. That's why prayer and listening is so important, because it leads us to be in God's presence. Because that's where we want to be. That's where we find life. That's where we find hope. That's where we find joy, peace, and rest. for the things that are afflicting us, for the back pains of life. That's where we find healing, peace, joy. Richard Foster, a theologian that focused a lot of his work on spiritual formation, says this: to pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue that God uses to transform us. In prayer, we learn to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things He desires, to love the things He loves, to do the things He wills. Prayer. To think like God, to desire like God, to love like God. An unknown theologian says this about listening. Listening is the oldest and perhaps the most powerful tool of healing. It is often through the quality of our listening and not the wisdom of our words that we are able to affect the most profound changes in the people around us. Isn't that true? Isn't that so true? Have you ever gone through something in your life? You're desperate. You just needed someone to hear you out, to listen to what's going on. Have you ever, and you go there and that person listens to you and doesn't say a word, just listen. And you come out of that meeting or that conversation thinking like, oh man, I feel a lot better about myself. I feel a lot better about the situation. Listening. See, listening works in two ways, the two-way highway. You can be the one finding healing, but you can be the one passing on healing in someone else's life when you're able to listen to what that person is wanting to communicate with you. When I come to God, listening to God brings healing to our lives. I know that we all equate prayer with communication. If so, we all know that communication is speaking and listening, where information is exchanged and the implications is assessed and processed, making prayer a movement from truth to implication, from hearing to acknowledgement, from understanding to obedience. Prayer and listening, it is one act. They're one act before God. As I said in the beginning, they're two sides of the same coin. Let's talk a little bit more about the discipline of prayer. Prayer is a personal communion and dialogue with God. Seen from a biblical perspective, prayer is an opportunity and a privilege rather than a burden and a duty. And so many times I see in the Christian life, we treat prayer as if it was like a duty thing. It is if it was like this burden. It's something that we got to do. No, the communicating with God, it is a privilege. Hebrews tells us that the Holy of Holies, that place where you can meet God, is open. And you can go in there at any time of the day of the night. You just walk there and have a conversation face to face with the one that created you. It is a time of awe and adoration. Not a time of like, oh, we gotta do this, right? Where is it that we have lost the awe of God and the privilege of talking to Him? It is the meeting place where we draw near to God to receive His grace, to release our burdens and fears, and to be honest with the Lord. Prayer, we limited prayer so much and should never be limited to structured times, but should also become this ongoing dialogue with God as we practice His presence in the context of our daily activities. Prayer. I'll give you a little bit about discipline of listening. I'm gearing you up here to a little practical part in the end of the sermon. I hope to hear today not to give you the, like this inspirational sermon on prayer, but to give you information so that you can process and have some step in your life in order to make prayer the priority of your life, so that you can use prayer to strengthen your spiritual life. It is an instruction sermon, not an inspirational one. The discipline of listening. Say, we need to take time to listen to God. He is the good shepherd and we are his people, his sheep. And his sheep, what do they do? They hear his voice. Isn't that what we read in John? We must acknowledge that God is still speaking today. How many of us believe that God still speaks today? How many of us? How many of us believe that God can and is communicating with us daily? Here's the thing. It is when I say the word us, you know, it is easy to say, yeah, us as a church. And God speaks through the church, through Pastor Sam, right? Isn't that how most people think? So let me put it differently. Do you believe that God is speaking with you right now? Without Pastor Sam in the picture, you and God, do you believe that God can communicate with you? You and God, no Pastor Sam, no other Christians, just you and God. Do you believe that God speaks to you today? You should, because he does. God has built with us a covenant relationship with him, and that relationship requires communication. In other words, he wants you to hear him more than you expect or even want to. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus clearly states this: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That was one of the great things about shepherd and sheep. The guy has just to say a word and the sheep were all after him. That's how it worked out that back then. That's how it should work out today when it comes with us and God. We should be able to recognize God's voice and follow him in every aspect of our lives. Here's the thing about God, and that we compartmentalize our lives and we say, God only speaks to me when it comes to regards to spiritual life. God doesn't care about my bills. God doesn't care about my sickness. God doesn't care about which clothes I wear every day. God doesn't care about how I drive my car or how I treat my co-workers. God is speaking with you about every aspect of your life because it matters. It matters to you. It matters to God. Early in the Gospel of John, Jesus made it clear also. He says this, John 8:47. He who is of God hears what? The word of God. In his letter called 1 John, the Apostle John elaborates on this point, saying, as for you, the anointing which is the Holy Spirit, which you have received, which you received from him, abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. I love that passage. So many of us is relying on the pastor. So many of us is relying on the neighbor. So many of us is relying on other teachers. Where Jesus himself have given you the Holy Spirit. And John and Jesus say that the Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things and guide you through everything. And instead of relying on the Holy Spirit of God who teaches us, who talks to us, we are waiting for a pastor, waiting for a teacher, waiting for a neighbor to come and speak God's word into your life. That's all good and dandy. I got it. I understand. I do the same. But the primary way of God communicating to us is through the anointing. It's through the Holy Spirit. He goes on and say, his anointing teaches you about all things. And it is true. And it is not a lie. I join John and tell you, this is true. The Holy Spirit of God is in you and he wants to communicate with you. God wants to communicate with you directly. That's exciting. That's humbling, and we should take advantage of that. Prayer and listening is one act. It takes persistent practice of prayer to achieve successful listening to God. And I think that's what one of our biggest problems is that we're like, Sam, I can talk with God as much. I'm a great prayer, but I can't listen. So, I mean, listening is a lost art in our society, right? Let's all recognize that. We are good at talking. Listening to somebody is very difficult. So it is a lost art. And then listening takes concentration and focus. So we live in a society that has so many distractions out there that distract us from stopping and trying and listening to somebody, right? Have you ever stopped and tried to listen to your spouse, right? Your wife and your husband is talking to you and your mind is everywhere else. I'm great at this, okay? Laura often has to stop me and say, Sam, I'm talking to you, buddy. You know, it's an ongoing thing at my house, and it's my fault. She's sharing information with me, and as soon as she's done talking, what do I say? What did you say? What was that again? And she's like, really? Do I got to go over through the whole thing again? Don't worry about it. I'll get it done. And I'm feeling bad about myself. And I was like, no. I'm sorry. I'm a bad husband. I want to go ahead. Tell me again. And as soon as she starts back up, what happened? Dang it, I didn't listen it again. So now you're making things up in order to catch up. Amen, brothers? Isn't that how it goes? Come on, it's just me here. Oh, you guys are making me look bad. I know you're just like me. No, but with all jokes aside, reality is listening is a lost art in the 21st century. There's so much distracting us. There's so much going on. And I think this is one of the reasons why we can listen to God's voice and be in touch with the Holy Spirit, because we don't use that time to focus in Him and Him alone. But it takes time. It's the practice of prayer, being persistent in prayer, perseverance in prayer will allow you in the end to start listening to God's voice. People ask me all the time, how do I listen to God's voice, Sam? And I think there's a few ways in which how God speaks to us. I have a list here, and I think it's either up there or on your weekly. God speaks through His Word. God uses His Word to speak to us. How many times I'm going through something in my own personal life and a Word of God just pops in. Just pops in. The other day I was in my house and I have a little exchange with my neighbors, nothing bad. But at the time I was like, that's weird that a guy would come to me and say that. And I was going to go there and say some things, you know, and I just heard the Word of God come to my mind, the Word of God, live in peace. Live in peace with those around you. I was reminded that day that I'm an instrument of peace, not a dissension and division. Carry the burden of someone else. Don't go putting your burden on someone else. God speaks to us through our thoughts. Through our thoughts. Man, I picked up my mom and dad in St. Louis Airport. They came in at midnight couple of years ago at midnight. I went from Jacksonville to St. Louis. Got them. We're driving the way back. It's a 2-hour drive, an hour 45 minutes drive. So it was about 1:30 in the morning, 1:45 in the morning. I know that because of what happened. We were driving, and I just had this thought in my mind. Came to me. Ask your mom to put seatbelt on. Ask your mom to put seatbelt on. I was not thinking. I don't like seatbelt. Usually it's a fight between me and the car beeping. Who is going to win, right? The car is beep, beep. I'm beating you, buddy. I am not going to put my seatbelt on. And then eventually they win and I put it on. I am joking. Seatbelt is great. It's important. Put it in your seatbelt, okay? But I had that thought and put seatbelt on. I said, Mom, can you please put your seatbelt on? She's like, I'm in the back seat, Sam. In Brazil, back seat means no seatbelt, right? I was like, Mom, please put your seatbelt on. She put her seatbelt on. 2 minutes down the road, I hit a deer. Pretty bad one. It destroyed the front end of my car. I lost control for a little bit when in the ditch and came out. God speaks to you through your thought. God speaks through you through conversations of others. How many times having a conversation with brothers and sisters in the church, you just get that message and you're like, oh man, this is great. I'm keeping that one. I think that is for God for my life. And later on, because you applied that word in your life, you were saved for something or something happened that was good for you. God speaks through circumstances of your life. So many things that happens in life, we're cursing God for it. And God's like, just take your time. I'm trying to speak something into your life here. You got to learn a lesson. I'm trying to teach you, talk to you, speak to you. Trust me, you're going to be better in the end. Why should we pray? Prayer changes us inwardly, making me and you an instrument of God's grace. That's why we should pray, because prayer changes us. It changes inside of us, making us an instrument of God's grace. Prayer is not about changing God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right? It is about changing us. Prayer is to faith what research is to science. That's why we should pray, because it is crucial. The concept of communicating with God, of talking directly with God, or you know, it is like openly with Him. It's just like talking with an intimate friend, where you can share the deepest truth of who you are and what's going on in your life. When prayer is overlooked or appended as an afterthought, the power of God is absent. Do you hear that? When prayer is overlooked and is an afterthought, the power of God is absent. Someone not too long ago, I wasn't here, a student in Jacksonville came to my office. It's like, Sam, I miss the power of God in my life. Why is it that I don't feel the power of God in my life? The power of God is absent. Look at my life. Where is God's power? The first question I asked the individual was, how is your prayer life? How's your prayer life? God is not moving in my life, Sam. I was like, I got you. How is your prayer life? No prayer, no God. You can't say you have a relationship with someone you don't talk to, can you? Let me give you several reasons here with biblical backing it up why we should pray. You got this list somewhere. I know you got it. It's either in your bulletin or it's up there. Prayer enhances our fellowship and intimacy with God. Right? Prayer enhances our fellowship and intimacy with God. It's working on a relationship with God. Jeremiah 33, chapter 33, verse 2 and 3 says this. Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, and the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is His name. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. You talk to Him and you listen to Him, you get something special. Scripture commands us to pray. Luke 18, 1 says this, and He, Jesus, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. A lot of us are losing heart in our circumstances. Why? Because we're not praying. Luke 18, 1. When we pray, we follow the example of Jesus and other great people in the Bible, like Moses and Elijah. Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 35 tells us of a time where Jesus went out to pray. And rising early in the morning, This is important about Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week when we talk about solitude, okay? But there's something special about Jesus' life where he made priority. He woke up in the morning and went to spend time with God. We so many times we wake in the morning and we go to spend time with the cup of coffee. Isn't that how it is? Hey, I'm all for a cup of coffee. I cannot be without it. I'm addicted to it, I guess. All right? But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what addiction you have in your life. The first things first, Jesus. And everything else will follow after that. Jesus' time with God, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolated place where, and there he prayed. Prayer appropriates God's power for our lives. Acts chapter 4, 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Power of God equals prayer. We receive special help from God when we pray. Hebrews chapter 4, 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of God that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. You're in need? Pray. Prayer makes genuine difference. I love what William Temple said about this. Prayer makes a difference. William Temple says this. When I pray, coincidence happens. When I don't, they don't. Isn't that cool? When I pray, there's some coincidence that happens. But when I don't pray, then it doesn't. I don't believe in coincidence, neither does he. But we do know that when we pray, things happen. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. I tell you, ask and you'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and you'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Prayer develops our understanding and knowledge of God. Psalm 37, 3 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord and do good, do well in the land, and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. I love that passage. God's promise to our lives. Our prayer and God's answer gives us joy and peace in our hearts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 tells us this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Prayer helps us understand and accomplish God's purpose for our lives. Look what Colossians chapter 1, 9, 11 tells us. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy. And the last reason I give you is here. Prayer changes our attitudes and desires. 2 Corinthians. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 7 and 9 says this. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul was thinking he was too good to be truth. Don't we all think that sometimes? Right? And then God's like, you're thinking so highly of yourself. Let me give you something interesting here. Boop, put him on something. Some people say he was blind. Some others said he was lame. I don't know what that was. Here's what it is. It was something that he did not like it. He come to God and say, hey, please, take this away from me. What does God tell him? My grace is sufficient for you. You don't need nothing else. It changed his attitude. Prayer changes our attitude. The last thing I want to do this morning is this. It's giving you here this little word that I'm calling ACTS. A-C-T-S. I think we need to have some kind of like something to enhance our prayer life. And so many of us don't know how to pray, or we're like, Sam, how to be effective in prayer. And so when it comes to enhancing your life, your prayer life, there is something that we need to do. You need to strive for a balanced diet. You got to have a balanced diet in your prayer life. And I think the word A-C-T-S will help you create that balance in your prayer life. And that we find in Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is where I think David really gives us like all of these parts of prayer that I think is helpful for us. Okay? Your homework for this week, and we will meet again on Thursday over Facebook Live like we did last week. In Psalm 63, there are four things that we see about prayer on Psalm 63. We see adoration taking place. We see confession takes place. We see thanksgiving, and we see supplication, acts. Every time I pray with my boys, every time we pray as a family, these four things happen when we pray. I always start with adoration, and I'm telling God who He is and how He's worthy of worship and how it is good to be in His company. We always confess. We confess our sins. We confess of how great God is, but there's a confession moment, a profession moment in our prayers. After we adore God, after we confess, we thank God. We thank Him for the things He has done in our lives. With a declaration of joy and appreciation for the works, the word, and the world that God has created to our lives. And we finish with supplication. A form and humble plea for help, asking God for a specific request. I have found that, you know, one of the biggest reasons why our prayer life is not rich, is strong, is because it lacks a balanced diet. So, this week, as you pray, as you spend time with God, why don't you apply acts to your life? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And then on Thursday, we're going to come together at 8:30, because 9:30 was too late. 8:30, I was ready to go to bed at 9:30. And I was like, oh man, I still got to do this, right? Amen? All right. At 8:30, we're going to get together and we're going to go through this prayer of David on Psalm 63. And we're going to do something that I call Lectio Divina, that I don't call, it's a prayer, it's called Lectio Divina. And we will pray scripture together. So, I hope you got this information in your weekly there. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It all comes from Psalm 63. We're going to spend time together in God's Word Thursday night at 8:30.